Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison. As always, joined by my co-hosts, Mike Bisset, Mike McGoy, Chris Epps. What up, fellas?
Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy belated birthday to Chris. We want to start the podcast on a positive note, giving love to my man, Chris. You know what I'm saying? He definitely helped us all get here. And we all gonna make it. He's definitely the one that's helping us make it.
Yeah, just you know, don't cite me on your taxes and shit. Don't tell your fucking lawyer about that.
Yeah.
He falls on the sword for us. That's what he does.
Yeah. I was talking to Roy earlier, friend of the show. He was like, let's do a little like recording about how much you've lost in like a pain video. And yes. I told him, oh yeah, I can look at my wallet and tell you, you know, there's 88 dead coins right now in one wallet, 88 swords at least.
Oof.
You know, but yeah, No pain, no gain, I guess.
Right, exactly.
A true cowboy.
I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of pain.
Another friend of ours, speaking of pains and gains and more so losses, I guess. Another friend of ours, Danny Williams, he's a great director and a contrarian of everything. He asked me, should I buy the NFT dip in an article from some source, independent.
The independent,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like NFTs are 92% down.
Yep.
And I'm like, you're not buying NFTs. I'm not about to get into this with you. Like, my wallet's not 92% down.
No, it was such a bullshit article. I actually responded to one of my friends who reposted it. Shout out to Naima Cochran. She makes a lot of dope threads on Twitter, and she's just a very cool, intelligent Black woman. But she
spreads FUD, obviously.
But she spreads FUD because she's also part of the age group, the Gen X, that predates us, that Danny's a part of, that have a hard time understanding what the NFT thing is about, and they don't want to know what it's about, really. You know, they have landed on the side of FUD, they've dug in their heels, and they're just really here to laugh at our expense occasionally. So I think the way he sent you that article was kind of the same way she posted it, of just like, ha ha ha, like, look at you guys, you're down 92%. Like,
right, like, should I buy it now?
Yeah, that's not earnest, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm like, that's why I told him, like, bro, you're not buying an NFT, like, what are you? Like, I know what you're doing here.
Yeah, no.
I'm not even going to get into, like, how I'm not down 92%.
Right, and that's really what they want to hear. Like, tell me how down bad you are, you know?
Oh, you want
to
know?
Or, like, try to defend it. Like, Dan is a person that wants you to defend it.
Yeah.
And rev up the engine and, like, get a confrontation going. And a
defense because he wants to give his dissertation on why you're wrong.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, cool, man. Like, yeah, 92% down. I guess as the market as a whole, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know.
No, hell, 92%, bro. Look at OpenSea. Look at anything that the ApeCoin being alive is enough to know that the market's not 92% down. Like, shit has actually been flourishing. We've been talking on this podcast week after week about which project has mooned to 30 ETH, you know what I'm saying?
So it is down. It is in a downward kind of, like.
Yeah, no, it's not up, but it's not 92% down. Like,
yeah, all the coins that his friends have told him about, or the shit that he's heard to buy, or no disrespect to the author or whoever else, you know, their coins are 92% down. Some shit I've bought is 92% down, but a lot of the things that I would recommend are not 92% down. Bitcoin is not 92% down. Shit.
Almost nothing is. And I mean, really, that was just a clickbait article. It's
right.
Yeah. It's meant and made to circulate in the circles that it's circulating in. And part of the whole clickbait thing is, and a lot of the journalism around crypto is very clickbaity. When you go to the article, you have to pay to read it. if you clicked on it, yeah. So they want you to read their bullshit, which is like, no, I'm not. I don't even care. Like, there's nothing you could say to make this worth paying for. Did you read the article, Mike?
No, of course not. I didn't know you had to pay to read it. I just thought it was a Twitter thread.
Yeah. All these journalists are behind paywalls now. They're releasing all this information so you can go, you know, hop on there. Patreon, pay $8 for the New York Times, all this bullshit. The whole fucking media landscape is in shambles. Speaking of who's down 92%, fucking news media. Like, nobody's buying newspapers anymore, but people are definitely buying NFTs.
Paper. I just reminded myself I need to get cash. I haven't touched an actual piece of paper news or paper news source and a minute. A magazine, even. It just kind of sucks.
We have some really good talking points, huh, today.
Yeah. Well, I want to start again, usually like we do with the elephant in the room, Bored 8 back at it again.
With down 50%.
They're down 92%. No, I'm just kidding. But no, they dropped their multiverse. They dropped their metaverse, their other world, other side, other deeds, collection.
Yep. Land plots.
Land plots. They're what, 20,000, 100,000?
Total, there are 100,000 plots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's 10,000 with the new profile or PFP avatar NFT called Coda they made. And then there's a selection that's, you know, more inland that are worth more because the only apes got them. And then it's like a, you know, there's a center island that's worth the most. And then it spreads out, and the further out, it's the cheaper shit. Considered cheaper.
Right. And so they had somewhat of a fucked up release that turned people off of the whole shit.
And then, I mean, it didn't turn people off. It's still minted out. It's still being claimed. Like, you can just claim it after. Everyone was rushing, and gas went up to $6,000 as like a base fee. People were panicking, trying to basically mint something or claim something that was probably predetermined. And I guess they just wanted to know, a lot of people wanted to flip it. I have a theory. If you go look at the Ape coin that night after everything started, like kind of went to shit, Ape coin DAO did a tweet talking about how, oh, we should maybe make a new chain since we broke Ethereum. And then there's a whole bunch of conspiracies about like, oh, did they push the gas on purpose? Was it them? There's a whole lot of mishaps about people spending $13,000 on gas to mint or claim, and they got failed transactions. It's interesting. It's just funny because this is what I've been through. Mike, we've all been through this, or me and Mike have. If you're in DeFi or NFTs, trying to get something that's new, and the gas ramps up crazy to unthinkable prices for the normal person, but people will pay it. This is just on a scale that I imagine would make sense for something that's worth technically multi-billions of dollars.
And so
this, like, the gas war has scaled up.
So how much was each piece, each 100,000 piece?
I mean, the floor started at like 5 and went up.
No. I'm saying, how much was it to mint?
I think it was around 300 ape coin, which was at the moment.
4 ETH?
Fuck, dude.
4 like ETH
$12,000
to mint?
Minimum.
3 ETH? Maybe it was 3 to 4 ETH.
Yeah.
So they sold 100,000. They sold 300,000 ETH off the rip.
Yeah.
They pocketed that off the rip.
They burned hella ETH also.
Hey,
you paid an ape.
Yeah.
So that's why they did that.
And ape pumped up to $20 and now it's back down 50%. You know, yeah. on the run up.
We talked about last week.
Yeah.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, we did.
So it was fun to watch. This was like a, you know.
Yeah, I've been watching. I had to watch that.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Mike was considering getting in there, weren't you?
I was.
I know. I was excited for you. I was like, oh, yes, he's about to become the kingpin of the group.
I didn't pull the trigger. I stayed loyal to the soil on my Murakami and Beans.
Oh yeah, and then Murakami revealed, you know, that was less hyped up, the ape thing, or the other world, other side shit. But
that was a lot has went on in the last week. The Murakami, yeah. Beans, PXN.
So this is again NFT Bros, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah,
there's a little bit, there's a good amount of fear in the market. People were calling that the top, but it's kind of like, I think right now everyone's looking at the macro side of crypto and the legacy markets. So like the fact that anything BAYC or Ape went down 50% or most stuff is constantly going down doesn't surprise me. and people are like, I've had a few people text me like, yo, what's going on? I was like, it with NFTs specifically. I'm like, yo, wait, look at the bigger picture. You know, right now, if I had a bunch of money in a NFT that just went up like 100%, or I just earned like, you know, multiple six figures, I would definitely be cashing out when I see what's going on with the market. I'm sure Michael has a bunch of points on that.
Well, that's what I was going to lead into, is basically saying that the macro was what people were starting to realize, myself included, is how closely tied together now crypto or Bitcoin, Ethereum are to the fucking stock market.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what this was not supposed to do.
But it's only 10 years.
It's not supposed to be this way, bro. And it's like now, when one is down, the other one is down the same. And it's like, this was not why this was designed. But because we have all these, I was going to say, because we have all these derivatives, all these paper derivatives of it. And now another one's starting to be made as well. It's like, man, I just, Bitcoin and Ethereum, right, were designed to be, at some point, to be hedges of inflation. Inflationary hedges. Now they're looking, Bitcoin's down with 40 something percent for the year. Shit's crazy. And it's because it's correlated to the stock market, well, partially, if you ask me, in my humble opinion, broadcasting live from the Porsche 911 cockpit. I love you.
You just dox yourself.
I love it.
I think it would have to be correlated to markets, legacy markets in general. You know, again, for the next probably 10 years still. Got to catch up.
10 years?
I mean, I think slowly it's decoupling. You know, the shit me and Mike look at more often kind of is more, well, NFTs are a little bit of their own thing, or starting to get their own path. But I'm not surprised that when the FOMC meeting even gets announced, the whole, you know, the 3 days ahead and all the fucking FUD and fear or bullishness because Yellen said something, like, it makes sense for now.
But now, Chris, tell me, bro, isn't that a good thing for Bitcoin?
Of course. Raising
interest rates is ultimately a good thing for alternative investments. That's why gold did so well today. You feel me? This was supposed to be digi gold.
But again, that's today. I think it's, you know, it. I do think that it's just a lot of accumulation and all of the shit going on is part of that. Because I think in 10 years, it's going to be the standard, or this is going to be what we're using, or they're going to make the standard. But you can't let that happen right now. They can't let us all get rich right away. You know, that's a big, you know, conspiracy, and like, you know, governments or people flooding or companies flooding shit just because they want to keep the price down. But also, I don't like mass adoption has to be, you have to do shit gradually to scale. Like, scaling isn't doing stuff right away, which we see with a lot of these projects that are trying to kill these two titans. You know, everyone wants to kill these two things because they can scale, but there's a reason why it takes a minute to adapt to that shit. To onboard all those people, to allow governments and or governments, you know, adapting to us.
Yeah, I feel that, Chris, but isn't it, it's also in their best interest for the price point or for the price action to continue to go positive. I can tell you that at a retail level, the amount of people looking to invest their retirement accounts into crypto has significantly slowed down over the last 12 months, 9 months. It's because Bitcoin is down. It's because it's not performing, it's not in the markets, or it's not, you know, as part of someone's headline every day or every week, how it was.
And so we always say, you know, don't talk about it. And that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. I feel like it's actually slowing the mass adoption curve more than helping it. Michael Saylor being down is not helping.
Yeah, but Elon being up or talking, you know, there's a lot of other things that help.
Yeah.
So I think we need this. We need this crab market. We need this choppiness.
Yeah.
So we can do shit like build and not get distracted and buy 1,000 things and then waste that money when we go 80% down and have to go build again. I'm talking from a personal.
Are we 80% down?
I mean, technically, a lot of people would say they were overall. And if you look at a lot of coins, that's like the most alts are down like fucking 50 to 80%. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's what most people are looking at. They're not, you know, most people, the market's based off of Bitcoin and Ethereum, but everyone's looking at their altcoins because they don't hold Bitcoin or Ethereum.
Is Solana 80% down?
Solana shut down again today. I know that. So it should be.
Again?
Yes, sir. I thought it was the eighth time. It was apparently the seventh. So I've been fudding them too much. Sorry. But yeah, Solana's down again, which was funny. They had their first actually really big PFP project come out like Monday. This shit went up like 30K floor because they got put on OpenSea and the project is like...
Oh, you're talking about the Bears?
What is it? Okay, Bears.
Okay, Bears. I saw that. I was
so pissed because that shit was such an easy buy, I guess.
It looks like the Bored Apes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah, but it's so the funny. Best... It's the best replica I think I've seen.
It's the best Solana NFT I've ever seen. Yeah. But if it keeps shutting down, I'm not gonna buy it, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna buy it.
So you're gonna get down with the Sol NFTs?
No. I'm not gonna get down until they don't shut down for a year so I can sell shit and there's people on it. I like Solana. I use it. Yeah. But at this point now, I think I've learned a lesson of just stick with what works. Slow and steady wins the race. You know, I got a turtle for a reason. Can't be jackrabbing it out here.
Right. No, I feel you. I mean, it's a lot of options, man. You think Ape is going to go to their own, they're going to scale away from Ethereum?
I think they're going to try to, I don't know. That was a great tweet. That was amazing marketing. I was like, dude, this is, if they did do what I imagine they would do if I was a fucking multi-billionaire and wanted to be a dick like Elon or some shit, I would definitely pump the gas myself. Yeah. And then make that tweet hours later saying, yeah, we're sorry, maybe we need Ape Chain for the, but it's gonna do everything else does.
Yeah.
Maybe in 5 to 10 years, yeah, but I wouldn't bet on it being the thing now.
So, Mike, do you have any other NFT updates for the NFT corner? We've been pretty NFT heavy.
No, man, I'm just kind of like consolidated right now. Near Kami, Zuki Games.
Yeah.
I'm just holding what I got, honestly, not trying to move around too much. I feel good about what I have.
Yeah. Solid floors, solid projects.
Solid projects, man. Like, you know, a little bit down on them, but not really.
So here's the deal. Usually when I do these ad reads, I've never really tried the product until they became sponsors, and then they give us samples and I try them and then I endorse them. I'm not trying to make it seem like it's fake. It's real. I've tried them and I like them, but it's not like I've ever used these things before they became sponsors. Today's a little different. Credit Karma. I'm telling you right now, I've used Credit Karma to fix my credit, to figure out what the problematic things on my credit report was, to pay those things off, to get a loan in order to pay off some of those things, to apply for credit cards, to get credit cards I'll qualify for, to take care of them the right way, and then to make sure I level up. Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you can get approved for. Credit Karma will even show your chances of approval so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. I've done this, ladies and gentlemen, and it absolutely works. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, and best of all, it won't affect your credit scores and can save you money. Credit Karma, apply with more confidence today. I am talking to you as someone who has fixed his credit using Credit Karma before they ever paid me to do this stuff right now. That's right. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers.
And looking at days like this, it gives me hope, and I feel like really good about the future of like projects when the market is kind of like performing like this and things are only like an ETH down or an ETH and a half down. Like, I'm like, okay, like when it pumps,
right,
it's in a good spot.
You'll be there. You'll be ready for it. So speaking of being ready for it, ready for the pump, the Pulse Bag Loading King himself, Richard Hart
versus Big Boss,
has been flexing.
King Richard.
King Richard with the Renzel verse, Ricky Rose, Rick Ross, the Boss, called out Crypto Bros this week. He said, "Where's the money at?" As if the arena in his hometown of Miami isn't named after FTX.
To be fair, that's, you know, institutional change. He was trying to call out the individual investors.
No, he was. He was. And a lot of people were happy, excited about it. They wanted to ride with on that wave, you know. But Richard Hart stood up for the individual investors.
Sheesh. Yeah, that was the first time I liked him. I was like, oh, this motherfucker is funny. Okay. When he's not talking about crypto, I fuck with him.
Right. I mean, I think that's how a lot of people feel about Crypto Bros.
Yeah, it's true.
When he's not talking about crypto, I fuck with him.
Yeah. Like, there was the whole thing. Was that last night? Homie got his fucking gasket blown off. You know we have to talk about that. Dave?
You mean
bro,
the Dave Chappelle?
Yes.
I mean, it's not really related to the show, but yeah, I'm sure.
We have to bring it up sooner or later.
Yeah, I mean, somebody tried to run up on Dave. They said free speech. I mean, I guess it relates all back to free speech.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about last episode.
Oh, God. Yeah.
There's your free speech.
There we go. Political bros. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. We want to jump into political bros. Yeah, somebody ran up on Dave Chappelle, tried to stab him with a knife gun, and he got twisted like a Wessel's pretzel.
Hello, listener. Have you ever used ButcherBox? I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to be a butcher. I used to work at an unnamed grocery store. I used to be that tall man behind the counter in your neighborhood, cutting up meat and preparing seafood for you. And I know that it can be a stressful situation. I know that it can be crowded. You have to wait your turn. You have to know what you want. You feel rushed. Sometimes you might think that your butcher has a bad attitude. I don't know. Happened to a friend. Couldn't possibly be me. But that's why I love ButcherBox. ButcherBox brings you peace of mind. You can easily find high quality beef, chicken, pork that you can trust is humanely raised. There's no antibiotics or added hormones. There's the ultimate convenience of not having to deal with butchers or the crowded meat counter after a long day at work. It's delivered right to your doorstep. There's always free shipping and there's incredible value. You're getting really high quality products at an amazing value. You get exclusive member deals. You get recipe inspiration, guides, hacks. A little hack from my butcher experience, the petite top sirloin, which is about half the price of the New York steak, is a very similar cut, with a fat cap on one side, and you get very good tenderness out of the petite sirloin. If you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse and you see them talking about picanha, that's the petite sirloin. With ButcherBox, I'm always prepared. I always have meat on deck for a grill and chill, a cookout, or just making dinner at home. And I'm saving a ton of money from shopping at the grocery store all the time. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's great, but what's my reward for signing up for ButcherBox? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you sign up at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, you will get free ground beef for life. For life. Enough ground beef to fill the Nile, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/dings.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Folded like a cheap suit.
What was
did the guy try to stab him? Really? I mean, he could have stabbed him if he wanted to. The guy apparently ran up there for clout on some corny shit because he's actually a rapper, apparently. And so the nigga went up there on some clout shit and fucked around and got a broken arm and a whole bunch of pub off of it now.
Right. And Jamie Foxx was one of the people that stomped him out, apparently.
Right, everybody. I mean, shit. Yeah. They said Dave went back there afterwards or some shit and got some more licks.
Yeah,
nigga doubled back on his ass.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, I guess.
You guess?
Yeah, I mean, you already got his nigga. He's already beat up, bro. He's already apprehended. He's beat up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what else do we need? Go get him back again to then go get sued.
Bro, you wouldn't want your get back in that moment, as hot as niggas would be.
He got his get back. He's doubling back for seconds.
Sometimes you need seconds.
He's doubling back for that fucking Thanksgiving seconds, bro. That shit could get you sued.
I don't know, man. The nigga was way foul in the wrong. He tried to stab him on stage, bro. Like, that's just crazy.
Bro, think about this. He speared him, bro, or he tried to. Right. That's a whole ass tackle, bro. That's two hands on somebody.
Right.
If he wanted to stab him, he could have. He was just trying to just do goofy, weird shit.
Yeah.
And fucked around and got a bar.
I'm saying this.
They're really a big nigga in the gym like that.
Right. You know what I'm saying. You running up on Dave Chappelle, he ain't like skinny 1995 Dave Chappelle.
Nigga ain't got a bar.
But it wasn't really Dave that mixed him. It was the other niggas that ran up and mixed him.
I'm saying when he tried to attempt to tackle Dave.
Yeah,
he tried to hit stick Dave Chappelle and failed terribly because, like, Dave is a much bigger guy than he is.
Right, right. Niggas see comedians, funny niggas, and think they just all small. But yeah, no, that was a crazy, crazy ass story, man. I don't know what the fuck is going on with niggas. I mean, I guess Chris Rock was right. And I guess he came out and said, like, oh, was that Will Smith made his little joke or whatever?
That was probably the best part.
Right. Niggas is really doing too much out here.
Will Smith is the butt of all Hollywood jokes at this point now.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a specific joke. That was a specific joke, nigga, that Chris Rock, the nigga who he got slapped by, like, bro.
All right, moving on.
Right. We got a lot of topics, man. You brought a lot of topics to the table. Bring one of them up.
No, I'll run through it. I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you was talking about, Goldman Sachs launching its first Bitcoin-backed loan.
Disgusting. You got to see that.
That's great. Yeah, DeFi, CeFi.
Right, BFI for sure, definitely BFI.
back to the central bank, big dog.
Bro, they can't get enough of it, man. And the crazy thing is, they love to FUD it so much when they're in front of their clients, but then they're secretly in the back office masterminding their own fucking fraudulent DeFi products.
That's the whole thing, is that, you know, as much as people are like, oh, they need to shut down Bitcoin, the government is going to shut down Bitcoin, blah, blah, blah. They just want their cut. Exactly. They don't care. People think they care about all of that shit.
Sacramento's passing some shit. I don't know if you guys saw that. I saw some, I should know the country in Africa. I believe it was the...
Yeah, central fucking...
Yeah.
Something, blah, blah, blah. It's like a
Congo.
Yeah. Apparently, they have like an 11% literacy rate in that country as well. So it's like,
damn.
You know, like dropping a, what do they say? You drop a fucking log in a forest and they make a noise.
Right.
I don't know.
What does that have to do with what's going on?
It's supposed to be like, if no one's around, doesn't make a noise. You know, like,
right.
There's no one around that's going to be using that shit. So it really kind of is just like, yeah. A posture,
right?
That's why I know it's not gonna. You know, we don't have to be worried. Everyone's getting in. A whole lot of shadow boxing and fucking smoke and mirrors to distract us from getting in.
Yeah,
that's it. You know, dictators are gonna use it. activists are gonna use it.
Apparently, Gucci. That was another one of the topics. Yeah. Gucci is gonna start accepting Bitcoin.
That hurts.
Who do you think, I wanted to ask you guys this, who do you think or how do you think they're going to use that or be able to accept that? What network are they going to be accepting it through?
Definitely Lightning Network, I assume. I'm assuming Lightning Network. And I also assume because they've already done some NFTs, they'll do ETH or do something sooner or later. They have some NFTs that have come out recently and had like the party at the NFTLA. Thing that I was supposed to go to but didn't go to.
Gucci had a party at NFTLA?
They had one, yeah, or for it. And they've done some collabs with some pretty good NFT projects, in my opinion. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. I know it's kind of silly too, but I think it's just good for the NFT side of stuff because there's a lot of things you could do with the licensing of bags and shit like that. Like, that's the thing, you know, I'm excited for when people start realizing, like, literally we could, you know, do a lot more shit than just make Ponzi's and sell and shill pictures of fucking cartoons.
Right.
Just going to take a minute.
Once that bag authentication comes out.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. It's over for you niggas.
Oh, never mind. China's definitely going to ban
it. Over for you. Ooh, bitches.
That's true. That's very true. No, that's something that authentication, you know, just having the deed to stuff is, again, the main one of the reasons why I got into it, the altruistic or sovereignty side of it, of crypto in general. You know, just you get blinded by the lights. But yeah, one day when I'm rich, I'll be an activist again or whatever for the people. Right now,
it's
for the homies in my wallet.
I can't help the poor if I'm one of them.
Oh, said it best. And
your boy Richard.
We speaking of happy birthdays, how we started off the episode, we want to also say happy birthday to Hal Finney, legendary cryptographer.
Sheesh.
The first person to believe in Satoshi Nakamoto and crypto. Some say he may be the guy who actually invented Bitcoin. What y'all think? Y'all think he's really the guy who invented Bitcoin?
There's like evidence of him helping or giving suggestions. I don't know.
Interesting. I don't
know. A whole lot of hearsay.
Evidence like how, Chris?
Or of him like helping and discussing shit with Satoshi, but not
like via email or something.
Yeah. Like the talks and forums and shit. Like there's the Bitcoin forum, the original one, and you can go look at him. He sent him like some Bitcoin.
But what if he, Satoshi Nakamoto is, was just his alter ego?
That's what people said. Yeah.
Yeah. He seemed and like a very smart guy, and to have that be a possibility in his story seems like, you know, it would be an interesting and clever twist, something from a movie.
Yeah, he's not that smart if he couldn't resist and not dox himself by going and working on it and putting up his... He's only so smart.
Well, I'm just saying, a lot of people...
Yeah.
If whoever was smart enough to make Bitcoin would be smart enough to do that, I believe.
Yeah. Well, that's whoever it was, saying. If that is Hal Finney, if it is Satoshi... that wallet will never be touched, so I don't ever want to hear nothing about that wallet ever again. That Satoshi wallet with the, 21 billion worth
some shit.
Yeah, it's like the lost art. It's like Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's like that one thing that, you know, will never be touched, can never be.
So apparently Hal Finney died.
Yeah.
Is that what, right?
Oh, yes. Cancer. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Cancer, Hal Finney, right?
Yes, Hal Finney had cancer. He died. What year was that? Here, let me Google it real quick.
But yeah, you know, I was thinking like, damn, what if he didn't die?
Yeah, I think that about Steve Jobs all the time. He died in 2014. Sclerosis, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Oh, is that ALS? He had ALS.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, no, some of the greatest, you know, artists, thinkers, inventors have passed way too soon. He's one of them. So yeah.
Kevin Samuels. RIP Kevin Samuels.
RIP Kevin Samuels. That news just hit the wire.
One of the greatest misogynists
to ever misogyn.
Yes.
Mike, I know you were a fan.
Huge fan. I also believe he's a marketing genius. So I'm just gonna hold my reservation on the RIPs.
Okay.
Until I get some other reservation.
Yeah. He's with Hal right now, bro.
Right.
And, Hal right now, bro. And, chilling.
And Tupac somewhere in Cuba. Yeah. Laughing it up.
On Johnny Depp's island.
Mm-hmm.
On Johnny Depp's island.
Y'all should check out that Tupac exhibit, by the way. I didn't think I was gonna fuck with it as much as I did, but I really did. It was pretty dope.
Where is it?
That?
It's downtown, right by Staples.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right across the street from the Marriott or whatever that is, whatever hotel that is. But yeah, it was really fire. They had a lot of stuff there that I had never seen. The way that the shit was presented was pretty dope. I wonder what Tupac would have thought of crypto. Like I kind of put like everybody through that lens now, like people who pass away. If I think like, oh, I wonder what this person would have thought about, you know, the world today and like specifically, you know, crypto, because there's so many people, everybody is like deeply polarized about it. You know, it's almost nobody that's on the fence about crypto, at least like in a celebrity space, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like everybody's like I don't fuck with it, and I don't want, you know, like it sounds stupid. You look stupid, or people are like, oh, like I fuck with it, or I'm kind of interested in it, you know. So yeah.
I think you probably would have fucked with it. Sorry, I got distracted by reading the tweets about Kevin.
Yeah, there's a lot of not so great tweets. People don't love misogyny apparently as much as they used to. It was,
hey man, you, their body, their choice, your thoughts, your body, your choice.
Yeah, Politico bros. I mean, fuck Supreme Court. Obviously, this week they're on some bullshit.
Yeah, we say that now until they pump your bags and say Bitcoin's legal tender, and then you're gonna be all about
pump my bags, you bitch.
Yeah, but let me never mind.
You federal fucks.
Said, pump my bags, but let me keep them, please. Because
yeah, please,
please, please. Let them. Yeah, I would have lost some bags. I would be down some bags for sure.
For sure.
It wasn't for Roe v. Wade, so you know.
I'm trying to get my bags pumped.
But yeah.
I would be down some bags if it wasn't for Roe v. Wade. It's crazy.
Sick. That's crazy, right?
Hey, man. Say, I'm just telling, hey.
I didn't even want to say anything. I just kind of let it
linger. Oh, man, that was a great one. I had to make sure I caught that one. That was great.
You're supposed to reveal your true self. You're supposed to let something real out in the pod, right?
Yeah. Yes. At least one thing to make it worthwhile. Released.
One thing a week. All right, next week I'll get you a good one.
I can't top that one. I don't know.
I'm sure you can, Mike. Just try. The Dow Jones is under 33,000 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great.
No, Mike, yeah, there's a whole lot of fear. Yeah.
Mike Gold is up, though. Well, it's even.
I love it.
It was
I
even. I love
it. Nah, it's even right now because the market's closed, but it was up. It, regardless, it's just – I just watched, like, a 30-minute interview with this guy on Kitco who's, like, you know, a famed mining investor. Mm-hmm. And he's been in the space for 15, 20 years, something like that. He's also an economic historian is what he called himself as well. And he just was pointing just towards, you know, the manipulation of the price of gold and how it really is just not in the best interest of any particular country to have gold be a high dollar figure. So they're going to always do whatever they can to make sure that the price stays at a certain range. And it really sucks. And it's kind of disheartening, but I believe that to be true, especially from watching it from a day-to-day level for the last, like, 7 years. And so then we're seeing, like, the highest inflation has ever been. If you were to use the same numbers that they used to not use in the 70s, this shit now is higher in 2022 than what it was in 1978.
Yeah. It's
inflation. Right. And so, right, that it's a real thing. But the crazy thing is, like, you know, gold should be pumping, but it's not moving as fast as it should. The alt investments are supposed to be pumping. It doesn't happen one-to-one, and I do know that, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see $3,000 gold here before the next year and a half.
So that's what you think. That's what you think. Peter Schiff is going to get his comeuppance on everybody, and gold, and gold is going to...
But that's the thing, because Peter thinks that it should be at 7,000 to 8,000. So, I mean, I don't disagree with him. I just don't see it happening because of the previously mentioned reasons. Like, the Fed's not going to let that happen.
Right.
I remember a client one time saying, you know, I was talking to this older guy. He goes, because I'm telling him the same thing. I'm like, man, I see gold hitting 4,000 this next cycle. He goes, Michael, I don't know if you really want to live in a world where $4,000 gold
exists. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That means a lot of people are in a very bad space.
Right.
Looking to do anything and everything at that point. So, and I kind of just kept that to be true. Like, man, I don't know how high this is supposed to go, but I mean, it's definitely going to outperform the Dow and or even real estate for the next year and a half, probably 2 years.
Niggas' chains will be getting snatched at unforeseen levels.
Bruh, and it's already happening right now. I mean, LA is the wild, wild west. You know, let some people tell it, the amount of shit that's happened on Melrose, even in broad daylight, right? So imagine if we have $4,000, $5,000 gold. That chain's now worth 10 times more.
10 times more. Yeah. Niggas would be niggering.
Left and right.
Seems like the only good investment so far for the last few decades is a watch.
Man, bro.
Those are the only things that haven't gone down.
Yeah, I dropped the ball too. I was supposed to get a watch like last year. I dropped the ball. That same watch is like 45% higher right now.
Sheesh.
Yeah, Bitcoin needs to fucking step it up.
Bitcoin's looking weak right now. MicroStrategy looking bad right now. MicroStrategy's looking bad right now.
They want him to go on Joe Rogan. That was the big talk to this week. Like, everybody wanted to see Michael Saylor on Joe Rogan.
Oh my God. That would be hilarious.
But niggas is just trying to do that just so they can try to get a little Bitcoin pump.
A little baby pump.
So what? That's not going to. Okay, we get to back to 44,000. So what?
So what do you think is going to move the market, Mike? You think the rest of the market, NFTs, Ethereum, and the other altcoins can move, can decouple from Bitcoin, can be as successful as people think they are? Either one of those things?
There's a lot of those were a few questions.
Two questions. There's a lot of layers, but it's just like, can everything that's not Bitcoin rise like people think it's going to rise? Any of them, do you think?
Because Bitcoin is is the well. It guides everything else.
Yeah.
Right. So Bitcoin would have to move the same way that everything else moves, at least the same direction, maybe not the same percentage.
Right. So do you think that they can, any of this stuff can outperform Bitcoin? I mean, I guess
I think everything is going to outperform.
I guess Bored Ape, Ethereum, a lot of stuff has
all of that.
But over the past year, over the past span of 1 year. But that's the other thing is like, you know, a lot of people now are saying like, oh, if you had 100 ETH, would you buy a Bored Ape? Like, because it's not going to 10X from there.
Right.
So what, like, you know, like, what do you right. guys think? Y'all are the NFT guys. What do y'all think?
Who's fucking hoes, dude?
Yeah, that's a lot of variables.
Who, like Chris and I were just talking about, like, who's looking at Bored Ape for like 15 ETH? Who the fuck knew it was going to 150 ETH?
Right.
Like, you don't fucking know.
Right.
Yeah, it's too hard to, especially right now, it's hard to even.
All right. Because the 150 ETH might be Bitcoin in 2017. It might be $20,000 Bitcoin.
Or
yeah.
I mean, I think when you start to look at the ecosystem of a lot of this shit too, people are getting, have made like millions of dollars by just having it.
Yeah.
You know, like with air, like the Ape airdrop, the derivative, like
projects,
income, yeah. Like, yeah, the derivative projects that came from it have fucking paid the bills 100 times over too.
Yeah.
So it's like looking at shit like that. I mean, you have to, you know, at least consider it when you're dropping like, you know, big bread on or thinking about, you know, holding big ETH in a project. It's like Moonbirds, I'm sure they're gonna have a fat ass airdrop.
Airdrop season, baby. I got two or three lined up. Thank God people get
paid 100,000 on and 200,000.
So wait, they tell niggas when they airdrop, when they gonna airdrop some shit?
They tell you after they qualify you.
Well, yeah, and they've made it clear that that's in their plans.
Okay.
The proof, like that, you know, the longer you hold the NFT, the more benefits you're going to get, or there will be benefits to holding that NFT.
Jason, come on.
And I was just going to say, the people who I'm talking about, you know, like that, I don't even know their loyalty to Ethereum. Right, it's just how whatever the means of transaction is to get me my NFT, cool, perfect. If it's Ethereum, cool. If it's another chain, cool. As long as it's working. Now these other chains have been shit in the bed, especially our favorite, right, Solana, which is down again. What did you say, Chris? 9 times.
I don't know. Oh yeah, shut down 7 times now.
Right. And so I don't think the medium of exchange really matters. Like, well, there's going to be, I mean, I guess it does matter ultimately. It's just ultimately Bitcoin, as it goes, Ethereum will go because the large money is going to pour into those based off of whichever they see performing the best. And Ethereum being a smaller price point, it's going to move the portfolio for their clients a lot faster than it would be if it were in Bitcoin. So, you know, Joe Client with the $100 million portfolio is sitting there. They're going to want to get in whatever is moving faster. And you're going to see a lot more of those transactions than, no disrespect, but like an NFT drop. Because there are more of these people than there are people that can afford $10,000 NFTs.
A lot of people don't want to buy NFTs and still don't comprehend it. You know, the whole asset class. You know, I think a lot of people understand coins and the kind of intrinsic value of owning a currency or trading a currency as if it were a stock or a bond.
They don't understand them. That's the best part.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. You're right. You're right.
Someone tells them.
Yeah. But they're more willing to play that game, I guess, is a more proper way to put it.
Which is crazy because people, most of those people don't ever trade stocks or trade currencies, but have traded cards or traded stuff as a kid.
Yeah, because it's video games. It's cheaper and there's an easier access point to cryptocurrencies. You know, like for a long time, the whole idea of trading stocks was just so, you know, you had to have a broker, you had to have money, you had to have a certain amount of money. The stock price is already out of most people's price range. Oh, it's $200 for Disney, it's $2,000 for Amazon. Like nobody's has that, you know, money to just throw around. Most people in America, at least in their mind, right? When they're playing a game they don't understand, it's like three card money. But with coins, meme coins, they see, you know, obviously Doge, Shiba, everything is under a penny. It's like playing penny stocks. You buying an ape coin for $17, like it's a much different concept.
And what kind of investor typically invest in penny stocks?
A terrible one. I mean, people who don't know shit.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, but the whole space has to mature. We're all, everybody's learning together. And that's the fucked up part is that we're watching everybody fuck up in front of each other constantly. You know, whether it's Yuga Labs or the dude who loses his ape to a faulty transaction, you know, some dumb contract, you know, like that everybody's fucking up in this space. Fucking Elon going from, oh, I love Bitcoin to Dogecoin to you can buy a Tesla week with Bitcoin. And now you can't. And, you know, then the ape fucking Twitter avatar. Did you guys see that?
No, what?
You didn't see. So you remember the ape image that was sold at Sotheby's for like $100 million or whatever? It was like a collage ape picture.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Oh, him. Oh, that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that means he's probably going to buy a fucking ape soon. Yeah, right. That's what he does. He fuds something, he makes fun of it. And then he buys it right after. So,
yeah.
Buy your ape. Come on, Jason.
That's what I want for my birthday.
You can buy it for your birthday and then make yourself financially free for your birthday.
That would be a beautiful thing. It would be like buying three Porsches.
Yeah, but those actually would not, you know, those would appreciate. They would appreciate in value. Theoretically, right. That's part of it too. Yeah, it's all that coin stuff is all of that mentality you're talking about is, you know, a lot of short game people fall into these games because they're short-sighted. Even I have been short-sighted. It's especially when you're born in a certain, you know, wealth class, it's you don't see that long game until you get up there, and it's and usually you flop that. So
all right, well, shit, let's wrap up this episode with the memes of the week, the tweets of the week. Did y'all have a favorite?
Shit.
I'm gonna steal yours, Chris. When you sent the meme of Kermit the Frog putting his hand on that crazy-looking Muppet, I don't know his name, and he says, these market conditions are terrible. And then... Kermit says, my brother in Christ, you're the one making the trades.
Oh, yeah. That was for me mostly, for myself. Yeah. Just need to save it.
That was fine.
Yeah.
Hey, also, I don't know, man. It seemed Art Blocks really got one off last week.
What you mean?
A real sneaky one, really a real sneaky pump.
Oh, yeah. They got some volume.
Yeah, look out for, I don't know. Yeah, you know, look out for the generative art comeback.
Yeah. Hey, you never know when some shit might come back in crypto. That's the wildest shit. We forgot to mention Gunna wearing the ledger.
Oh my gosh.
At the Met Gala.
What is on that ledger? What's on it?
What's on the ledger? On it. Yeah, that's a great question. Solana? I don't know.
No. Probably.
Probably he does have an ape though, right?
He has an ape.
An ape and a doodle.
I believe. I'm pretty sure you can go search him up right now and see.
The iced out ledger. I mean, that was hard. I'm not going front.
Yeah, that was pretty tight.
Yeah. So
that's smart of them too.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, like that's bullish in my opinion. Whatever happened in the market, seeing shit like that is much. I'd rather see that than see someone advertise NFTs or advertise crypto on television or whatever, advertise a coin.
Yeah.
Like seeing the fucking the hardware or some shit become a cultural thing or adoption in a way that's not trying to make some money. That makes me think, all right, we're good. We're going on the right path. Because if he's holding a ledger, that means, you know, he knows what a ledger is. That's right. Some shit. Most of the people who lose all their money or all these ape fools who have gotten hacked don't even know about or have.
Exactly. All right. So if y'all don't know, go find out what a ledger is.
Please.
Do your own research. Learn some shit about crypto. Learn some shit about finance, what's going on out here in the streets. For Crypto Bros, I'm your host, Jason Madison. My co-hosts, Mike Rese, Mike McGoy, Chris Epps. We see y'all next week. Thanks for tuning in. Be safe out there. Peace.
Transport yourself back in time and explore the fascinating and harrowing story of the Titanic's maiden voyage. Now open at Cosi. Don't miss Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition. This epic exhibit features over 200 authentic artifacts recovered from the ocean floor. Discover poignant passenger and crew accounts and majestic recreated interiors, including the iconic Titanic Grand Staircase. Tickets for Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition are on sale now. Book your voyage at Cosi.org.
Douglas is one of many who found a new life through Seattle's Union Gospel Mission.
I was living on the streets when I heard this guy talk about how he got clean and sober at the mission. So I decided to give it a try. I could feel something working inside of me, and I knew I was getting better. Today, my number one goal is to stay clean and sober.
And grace will lead me home.
To hear more, volunteer, or donate, visit UGM.org.